This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on the VSiN Network, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz back with you to start off the week. Brandon, you stepped in for Jeff Erickson a couple weeks ago. You were on a vacation of your own this past week. Hope you had a great time. Glad to have you back in the chair, specifically because we have a big Orlando Magic trade to break down, and we'll do that in just a moment. Brandon, of course, a full-time Orlando Magic insider down in Florida, so very fitting that we get to talk about the fallout from a big Desmond Bane trade. We had a massive trade in Major League Baseball yesterday as well. We'll talk about both of those to begin the show, but later on, we'll play a game of Play It or Pass It. Game 5 of the NBA Finals, of course, coming our way tonight. We're going to have Adam Thompson from bookies.com joining us with all of his best bets for the Monday night MLB slate. We'll talk a little NFL fantasy to wrap things up, kind of tie that into some of the stat leader odds that are up at the DraftKings Sportsbook, some players that we're targeting, maybe some players that we're staying away from as you start to think about those 2025 fantasy drafts. But Brandon, I don't want to preamble any longer here. We got two huge trades to break down, and we'll start out in baseball. Rafael Devers traded to the San Francisco Giants yesterday afternoon. I thought the Bane trade came out of nowhere. This one, to me, even more shocking, even with everything that's been going on behind the scenes between Devers and the Boston Red Sox. So the Red Sox end up getting Jordan Hicks. They get Kyle Harrison. They get James Tibbs and Jose Bayo, a couple prospects from the Giants. And San Francisco gets Rafael Devers, one of the best hitters in all of baseball. Now, I think I've seen every possible spin to this trade, Brandon. I'm curious where you come in. I've seen people defending the Red Sox. I've seen people saying, what are we doing? We won 8 of our last 9 games. We just swept the Yankees. Now we're trading our best player. What was your reaction when you saw that deal come through?
Crazy Father's Day, first of all. So I think we all experienced a little bit of madness. Then on top of it, you had the JJ Spawn stuff going on with the U.S. Open and the rain delay. And we get to rewatch Tiger Woods a little bit. But
yeah, that was nice.
I don't feel like I'm not as surprised as the rest of the sports community because of the way that it seemed like things were going downhill so fast with Rafael Devers, Alex Cora, and the Boston Red Sox. The irony in this is that, you know, they made a huge investment in him not too long ago, giving him a 10-year, $313 million contract extension. Right. Back in 2023, but obviously the rift was beyond repair. The irony in this is that they partially gave him that deal, by my recollection, because of the shame of trading a player as good as Mookie Betts, and now both of them are gone. The Red Sox folks that I have talked to today are not happy about this, and I don't blame them one bit. Devers is in the thick of his prime. He's one of the best bats in baseball, and he's hot right now, so that just makes matters worse. It's salt on the wound for a Red Sox team that is still in the thick of the wild card race, but it feels like they're going nowhere fast.
Yeah, Boston now plus 170 to make the postseason in the American League. Again, they've been on a heater of late. 1-8 of their last 9 games, 6.5 back still in the American League East. But, you know, before this trade, at least feeling better about that after sweeping the Yankees. Red Sox right now just a half game out of that final wild card spot in the American League. Currently occupied by Seattle, they're tied in the standings with the Minnesota Twins. Yeah, I think the timing of the trade to me was certainly surprising, Brandon. Like it would not have shocked me if we're getting, you know, closer to the trade deadline, late July, rumors are starting to heat up. You could see that being an inflection point, but this just kind of materializing out of nowhere on a Sunday afternoon, like right after the Red Sox won that game, in which Rafael Devers homered, by the way, in his final at bat as a Boston Red Sox. I mean, maybe to me, that's the more surprising part of this. The fact that it seemed to materialize so quickly, there was no leakage as far as what I could tell, you know, of anything materializing behind the scenes, were other teams involved. Hopefully we'll find that out in the coming days. But nonetheless, a shocking, shocking trade, and Rafael Devers could make his debut for the San Francisco Giants as early as tomorrow night. Giants are off tonight before beginning a long homestand. Brandon, I want to talk about the Desmond Bane trade. And obviously we have the right guy to do it. Again, you cover the Orlando Magic full-time down in Florida. So the Grizzlies trading Desmond Bane to Orlando for KCP, for Cole Anthony, 4 unprotected first-round picks, and a pick swap. I think the initial reaction to this is, okay, Desmond Bane's a nice player. Everybody likes Desmond Bane. He's not an all-star, and maybe part of that is due to just the depth of the Western Conference, how difficult it is to clear that bar in the West. But a massive package nonetheless to give up for a borderline all-star player at best. However, you remember the Rudy Gobert deal. You remember the Mikal Bridges deal. There is recent precedent for a transaction like this. And of course, the hope is if you're the Orlando Magic, a team that was extremely competitive this season, despite a bunch of injuries, you know, still played a competitive first round series against Boston. The idea is that Desmond Bane puts you over the top and you're okay, you know, surrendering the 27th overall pick in the NBA draft for the next few years.
Yeah, and I think the Mikal Bridges point is spot on. You look at what the Nets got in making that deal with the Brooklyn with the New York Knicks. They exchanged 5 first round picks, a first round pick swap, a second round pick, and Bojan Bogdanovic, and that, you know, they loaded up on draft picks, 5 first round picks for one player, and you're not really even offloading any sort of major deal. I thought that was a bigger haul than even what the Memphis Grizzlies got here, because part of this trade isn't just Desmond Bane being acquired by the Orlando Magic. It's also KCP being sent out of Orlando. He still had $40+ million left on his deal. So I don't view this as Desmond Bane for 4 first round picks. To me, it's more like Desmond Bane for 3. And will you please take Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for 1? And when you look at it that way, I think it's much easier to digest if you're a Magic supporter out there. He clearly fills a need. They needed shooting desperately. And they also don't want to hamper their defense too much with a move that they make to get better offensively. There are very few players that can check those boxes at the age of 26 that still have several years remaining on their contract. So I just think when you look at it that way, there weren't many better options out there for the Magic than landing a player like Desmond Bane.
I think you bring up a great point with KCP. And what you're saying basically is you're paying to get out of the KCP contract. And I think that is a key component of this deal. I also think, Brandon, this is the Magic officially pushing the chips in. And you know, we've talked a lot about these teams in the Eastern Conference maybe sensing an opportunity, specifically next season and even beyond that, right? With Boston likely taking a step back. I mean, you look at the Cavs, and maybe on paper, the Cavaliers still have the best roster in the East. It's also a team that just flamed out in the second round of the playoffs. I think you look at what Indiana's doing right now, that becomes a pretty appealing blueprint if you're a team like Orlando to say, I think we could build our own version of that. And look, all due respect to the Indiana Pacers, Brandon, who've already won more games in this final series than I predicted they would. I don't think anybody looks at the Pacers and says, oh man, we can't beat this team. This team is just on a different level. You know, we got to sit this one out. This isn't Kevin Durant on the Warriors in 2017, where we saw basically everybody but the Houston Rockets just kind of sit out until Durant moved on. I don't think anybody looks at Indiana as this unbeatable team. And you know, you look at the odds in the Eastern Conference right now after this trade, Orlando 8-1 to win the East, 25-1 to win the NBA title. You can absolutely talk me into this team. The question though is the depth, Brandon, because yes, you're coming off a season in which I think you could argue you had close to a worst case scenario in terms of health. You know, Jalen Suggs ends up missing most of the year. Banchero, Wagner both missed extended time. They were still a comfortable playoff team. They were still competitive in that first round series against a superior opponent in Boston. The question is, what's the next move for Orlando? How do you fill out this roster? Because I think the top four looks really good if you assume Jalen Suggs is back healthy. This is a team that had very little depth ending this past season, and you know, sending out Cole Anthony, sending out KCP. Yeah, you do get a 1-1 replacement in Bane, but I'm still a little bit worried about what the 5, 6, 7, 8 guys look like in this rotation.
This is part of the reason why you had to make a deal like this for Desmond Bane, because you were going to be spending this money anyway. You were just going to be spending it on two players that aren't helping you win in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which turned out to be a really bad signing, and Cole Anthony, who just hasn't really developed into a contributing, winning NBA player. And now you turn that into Desmond Bane, which should help you do all of those things. Keep in mind, last year, the Magic were 41-41. And that was with their three best players, Paolo, Franz, and Jalen Suggs, playing a grand total of 97 minutes together throughout the course of the regular season. So they're going to get better naturally just because of health. But then when you look at what other moves can be made, it's going to have to be cheap, because they are tickling that second apron right now as it stands. But they need to add shooting. Adding Desmond Bane is great. That's definitely going to help the Magic become a better three-point shooting team. They ranked 30th last year, which is definitely not anywhere close to good enough. But I think they're going to have to add another piece or two cheap talent of guys that can just simply knock down threes. They need to find their own version of Ty Jerome out there.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right about the fit for Desmond Bane. On paper, I don't think you could find a better fit. You know, a guy who I think is kind of a natural second, third option, which is exactly how they'll use him. Orlando shot 31.8% as a team from beyond the arc last season, one of the lowest volume three-point shooting teams in the NBA as well. Are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better than that. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use. We're talking rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering the code ROTO15, R-O-T-O-1-5. Put in that code ROTO15 at checkout. You get 15% off any RotoWire product. All right, Brandon, before we turn our attention to Game 5 of the NBA Finals, real quickly here, the Memphis side of things, are there more moves coming for the Grizzlies?
I think this was done as sort of a cost-cutting measure for them, and they want to make sure that they can lock up Jaren Jackson Jr. for the long term, so they want to see what that looks like. They still have incredible young depth, so I would think they're going to sit on this for another season before they make a big move.
Yeah, and I do think the KCP, the Cole Anthony additions, yeah, you're taking on the KCP contract. That's not nothing. We've seen this Memphis team maximize plenty of role players over these last few seasons. But I don't know, is this a top 8, top 19 in the West? Not sure it is right now. We got to head to break. When we come back, we'll play It or Pass It, NBA Game 5 edition, coming up next here at Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz here with you on this Monday afternoon. Brandon, Game 5 of the NBA Finals coming our way tonight. Series is knotted up at 2 games apiece. Certainly saw the Oklahoma City Thunder do what I did not think they would do, Brandon, and rally back and win that game to even the series. And you know, we've seen the market react accordingly. Thunder now reinstalled as big favorites to win the series. It was minus 500 right after game 4 wrapped up, now down to minus 450. But nevertheless, the prevailing thought seems to be that, all right, OKC has avoided disaster. They get two of the next 3 games at home, and they should take care of business. The number that we're looking at for Game 5 tonight certainly implies that as well. 9.5 is the number right now over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Been bouncing between 9, 9.5 over the last few hours. We're going to take a look at the prop market, though, Brandon, and we're going to play a game here that we like to play quite often when we look at the NBA prop market. Play it or pass it. Pretty simple stuff. I'm going to give you an NBA prop. You're going to tell me, do you like it at the price? If you don't, you're going to pass it. If you do, you're going to play it. And we are going to start with Tyrese Haliburton. Over 2.5 made threes tonight, plus 100, Brandon. Play it or pass it.
Put a lot of thought into this one, Nick. I'm going to pass, though. He has been kind of hot and cold on threes throughout the course of the playoffs. I just feel like there are better places to put your Haliburton money if you want to bet on Tyrese Haliburton. Mm-hmm. Love the fact that we're not paying any VIG for this, but there's a reason this is priced so generously. The fact that he doesn't need to hit threes for this team to win. So if you like the Pacers tonight, I don't think there's much of a correlation there between Haliburton knocking down a bunch of threes and the Pacers winning. And if OKC runs them out of the building tonight, which is also a possibility, they are installed as nearly a 10-point favorite, then he's not going to get into a situation where he's able to do that anyway. So it's not playable for me, too inconsistent and unpredictable for Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's appealing at plus money. I get that. But, you know, Haliburton's only hit this number in 2 of 4 games so far, when 1 of 7 from beyond the arc in game 4 on Friday night. I will say what has been consistent, though, is the attempts, right? He's taken either 7 or 8 threes in all 4 games so far in this series. So, you know, comes in averaging right around this number, 2.4 made threes per game for the playoffs. Does tend to shoot it much better at home, though, compared to on the road. Even during the regular season, we were looking at a 5-6 percentage point difference in those home road splits. So I think we see OKC try to copycat what it did to end that game defensively when Tyrese Haliburton was essentially swallowed up. They go into drop coverage, with Chet Holmgren, you're basically daring Tyrese Haliburton to come at him, try to hit those floaters, you know, over a 7-footer with one of the longest wingspans in the NBA. And even though he's taking 7 or 8 threes in each of these games, Brandon, it still feels to me like there is a reluctance behind that for Tyrese Haliburton. He's not necessarily hunting those shots. He'll take them, you know, if the Thunder give those up, but I don't know how many looks are going to be there the way OKC finished that game defensively. So I will pass this one as well. All right, let's look at one for the Indiana Pacers, Brandon. Play it or pass it. Pascal Siakam over 26.5 points plus rebounds. This is minus 110.
I love this. I'm going to play it. We know that the scoring is going to remain consistent for Siakam. It's those rebounds, though, that are going to get him over the hump. Yeah. Siakam is the second leading rebounder in this series behind Chet Holmgren. He's leading the Pacers with 7.8 per game in this series, 12.8 rebounding chances per game in this series. And that's because the Pacers have been playing smaller at times using Siakam at center. 20 points plus 7 rebounds, very much in play for Pascal Siakam. This would be one of my favorite props of the night.
The consistency has been there, like you said, scoring wise. And you know, I was on the show, you know, I think it was Thursday or Friday last week, talking about, you know, Siakam's just got lucky on a few of these offensive rebounds throughout the series. Well, it just keeps happening. He had a couple more of those. I think it was in game 3 where, you know, OKC is closing out on shooters. It looks like it should be, you know, an easy gather, and there's Pascal Siakam in the right spot. So he's adding a couple offensive boards per game to that tally. I thought this would maybe be a bit more of a difficult series for him. He's also getting to the line at a really high rate, and that's been consistent throughout the series. So that does give him a nice floor in terms of the scoring. I'm not quite as high on this one, I think, as you are, Brandon, but it is in play territory for me at minus 110. So we like Siakam over 26.5 points plus boards. All right, let's move over to SGA. And we're veering away from the points prop, which is up to 34.5. Brandon, at the DK Sportsbook, a ridiculous number, and yet one that, of course, is totally feasible for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We're going to take a look at the rebounds here. This is at plus 105. Play it or pass it. SGA over 5.5 boards tonight.
I'm going to play this one as well. The plus 105 to me is really important here because he has not been hitting this consistently, but that price makes this a less than 50% probability, and that it just has not been the case against Indiana. If you expand beyond this series, he has gone over this number in 4 of his last 7 meetings against Indiana. It's certainly not my favorite bet on the board, but if you can get this at a plus number, I think it is a value proposition at this point, especially with most of the market has minus 105s out there. I've even seen a minus 120 on over 5.5 rebounds. So if you can get a plus 105, I think you should absolutely play it tonight.
Yeah, I like that line of reasoning as far as just, you know, grabbing value, especially relative to the rest of the market. But I do have some concerns here, Brandon. He's only gone over this number once so far in this series, 8 rebounds in game 2. He's only gone over 3 times in his last 11 games dating back to that Denver series in the second round. You look at his total rebound percentage in the finals, it's under 8%. I mean, that's lower than Jalen Williams. It's lower than even Alex Caruso coming in off the bench. And I think a lot of this depends on how you think the game plays out, how you script it, you know, how you think Indy shoots the ball. You know, Pacers shot just 42% from the field in game 4, 30% from 3. And Shai only grabbed 3 of a possible 43 defensive rebounds. So this one is more of a pass for me. I know they're trying to draw us in with that plus 105, but Brandon will play it. I will pass it. All right, let's stick with the OKC Thunder here, Brandon. Play it or pass it. Chet Holmgren, over 15.5 points tonight. This is minus 115 at DK.
I'm going to pass it. This has not been a great Chet series. I think he's showing his toughness as a player, making an impact where he can, which has been more so in the rebounding department. But he's gone under this number in 3 of his last 5, 9 of his last 15 now, if you really want to expand this sample out. Something's just not quite right with him. So I'm going to look away from backing Chet from a scoring perspective. I like what he's giving you as a player, but just as a scorer, it's not good enough for me.
Yeah, this one is so tough to me because it doesn't really feel like Chet Holmgren is playing well. It doesn't feel like he's having a great series. You know, there have certainly been some moments here and there, but he continues to take on a larger role as the series goes along. You know, I think with how those first 2 games of the series went, I thought we might see a little bit more of Isaiah Hartenstein. And if anything, it's gone the other way. I know they put Hartenstein in the starting lineup in game 4, but only ended up playing 21 minutes. We saw 37 minutes out of Chet Holmgren, the second most in any game in this postseason. 24, 28, 35, 37 minutes. That's the way it's been trending for Holmgren. So I think the workload will be there. I mean, despite playing 37 minutes in game four, still finished under this number, 14 points on 9 shots, did make 6 free throws. But game three was the only game in which he's gone over in the finals. And a lot of that work came early in that one and really tailed off toward the end. So I'm with you, Brandon. This is one that I'm approaching with some degree of caution, probably more of a pass for me. We'll take a look at the side. Again, OKC, a 9.5-point favorite right now at DraftKings. We'll do that in a moment. But first, if you want to make smarter football bets this season, start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, you can grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175. Gives you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from our experts and their guests, a real-time betting split from DraftKings and the Circa Sportsbook, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics, and all of our betting tools all over at VSiN.com. Don't miss the early bird special. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, Brandon, we got one more play it or pass it for you. We are honing in now on the side. Again, the number OKC -9.5 at home tonight. Play it or pass it.
I'm going to pass it. I like the Pacers tonight. They've been just as good as OKC throughout this series. I am not seeing the separation that we thought we would see coming into this matchup. I think this is a case of books and a lot of sharps out there who rely heavily on their numbers being a little too slow to adjust. I could be wrong. I'll be on this show tomorrow. We can replay this. The clown nose on my face if you want to. But the Pacers should no longer be 10-point underdogs at any point, in any location, in this series. Give me Indiana plus the points.
I think you said it really well, man. I think we're giving the Thunder credit for what happened in the regular season, what happened earlier in the playoffs, not necessarily what this series has looked like so far. And yeah, maybe the momentum is back on OKC's side. The Thunder offense has not looked right to me really at any point in this series. They won game four on the defensive end more than anything. And look, it's not like this is a disappointing 2-2 split so far for Indiana. So I don't think we see the Pacers come out and lay down tonight by any means. We got to head to break. We got Adam Thompson for bookiesjock.com joining us on the other side. Some best bets for the Major League Baseball slate coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz hanging out with you. Going to talk some Major League Baseball, some best bets for tonight's slate. And to do that, we bring in one of our favorite guests, Adam Thompson from bookies.com. You can follow him on Twitter at AdamTSports. Adam, welcome back to the show, man. Did we get a change in the Twitter handle? What happened to the ATM?
We did. Back in the day, I had an old handle. It got corrupted. Bad things happened. And I just found out after a few months away from the game, it is back. So Adam T Sports, head over there, fade my new account, go back to my old account, back my old account.
All right, there we have it, at Adam T Sports. Again, check him out on Twitter. You can find all of Adam's work, all of his picks each day over at bookies.com. Adam, before we get to your plays for tonight's slate, got to get your take on the big news in Major League Baseball today. Rafael Devers, of course, traded to the San Francisco Giants. What do you make of the return specifically that Boston got here? You know, I think I saw some comparisons to the Luka Doncic trade, as in what other teams have been willing to beat that offer. But, you know, you get Kyle Harrison, a young pitcher, you get kind of a project in Jordan Hicks, and then some younger prospects as well. We'll see, you know, what kind of impact they make down the road. But given how dramatic of a decision this was to part ways with the best player on this roster, did Boston get enough in return for Devers?
You know, I think they might have gotten something in the form of relief, maybe just a breath, a fresh air that, things obviously, there was some kind of disconnect, obviously, right, between Devers and between management, and they just felt the need to move on. He didn't want to play first base, even though they needed him there. They didn't need him at third base anymore. Obviously, he went to DH. On paper, I think clearly San Francisco wins this trade as far as the immediate goes. But Boston, they save. They just got $300 million plus dollars back that they can spend elsewhere in the future. San Francisco, they're going for it. They're only two games back behind the Dodgers. They feel the need. Buster Posey has been ultra aggressive in his short stint as a GM. He's going to probably have to play first base for them. I assume that was talked about prior to the official signing of this trade, that he's going to be okay with it. But, for Boston, I think, maybe just a refresh in the clubhouse, an additional $30 million a year that they can use elsewhere. Obviously, when they signed Bregman, his services were no longer needed at third. So they can address some concerns elsewhere. And, in the AL, there's 12 teams that are 500 or better, and they're just barely right there too. So maybe they see this as, we're not going to go all in this year, but let's position ourselves for the future. And the team is still good enough if the pitching comes through to make a run this year. But I think this might be more of a play for the future.
Well, you mentioned, Adam, the Dodgers still sitting in front in the NL West, and it is Shohei Ohtani night. He is pitching for the first time in quite some time. The Dodgers have been waiting for this moment since they signed Ohtani over a year ago. What should we expect tonight from the Dodgers? The excitement here. I saw his strikeout prop sitting at 1.5. The Dodgers minus 150 on the money line. What's the look here as far as Ohtani stepping back out onto the mound and then a way to bet into this game?
Yeah, this might be more just kind of symbolic of how exciting it's going to be, because when it comes to Dave Roberts, you never know what you're going to get when it comes to pitching decisions. I've lost many a hair trying to figure that out. So I don't expect Shohei to go more than maybe two innings, but that first inning is going to be electric. I think it's going to be MLB Network's probably single highest rated inning in a long time, especially if you have Fernando Tatis, if he's leading off, if Manny Machado is part of that first inning. It's going to be awesome. I'm definitely going to be tuning in. I think anybody who's even moderately interested in the game is going to be tuning in. I mean, Shohei is that special of a player. I mean, I have two kids who play youth baseball right now, and it's pretty common when you see the top pitcher is also the top hitter, or one of the top two or three. It's impossible in MLB. It doesn't happen. Shohei is impossible, and it's just fantastic for the game that he's finally back.
Adam, I know you're looking at Dylan Cease, under 6.5 strikeouts in that Padres-Dodgers game as well. We have another big debut coming in Angels-Yankees tonight. This one at Yankee Stadium, Jose Soriano going up against Clark Schmidt. Giancarlo Stanton making his season debut for the Yankees, was dealing with issues in both elbows dating back to spring training. So it's been a long road back for Stanton. How much does this actually matter, I think, is the real question, right? We talk about Stanton in a fantasy context a lot here at RotoWire, and certainly not the player that he was earlier in his career. He's missed so much time since arriving in New York. Does this actually make a big difference for the New York Yankees going forward, or is it more Giancarlo Stanton, the name, versus what we actually expect in terms of production at this point?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, he's instant offense. When he gets a hold of one, it's still gone in spectacular fashion. It just gives other teams kind of another player to kind of worry about, because if you don't worry about him, he can destroy you. If you do take him seriously, there's a chance you're going to limit him pretty good. But just another major bat in that lineup. He's taking on Jose Soriano tonight against the Angels, who's only allowed three homers all year. That sounds like the kind of pitcher that can give Stanton fits. I would probably fade him tonight. But I think overall it's a good thing for the Yankees. They're already the best hitting lineup in baseball, just about, if they're not one, they're two. And I think it makes them stronger, but yeah, I don't think he's that three or four guy anymore. I think you put him a little bit further down. We'll see what the Yankees do. If you don't take him seriously, he can still do damage.
Forget about the Dodgers and the Yankees. Let's talk about the teams that people want to hear about. The Rockies at the Nationals. The Rockies scored 10 runs in their last outing, far removed now from their rare three-game winning streak from about a week ago. I can't back the Rockies at a short number. anything less than plus 200 feels unreasonable. They're plus 150 tonight against an also bad Nationals team. So what do we do with this one? Perhaps there's a pitching prop that we can look at here.
Yes, I'm going the pitching prop path. Carson Palmquist, 3.5 strikeouts is his number. I like the over on that. He's averaging about 1K per inning so far in three road starts. He's only going 4 to 5 innings so far, but I think they want to stretch him. He's still young. He's still 24. His pitch count is going up. His innings aren't necessarily going up, but I think he's figuring it out. And as a lefty going against Washington, Washington's OPS against lefties this month is under 600. They just got done striking out 20 times against the Marlins. So 3.5 strikeouts, you know, if he gets his usual 4 or 5 innings, he's going to get 4 or 5 strikeouts. And I think they want him to go longer. I think his leash is getting longer. So if he goes 5 or 6 innings, 4 strikeouts seems like a great bargain. So Carson Palmquist over 3.5 strikeouts for tonight.
We'll have some more MLB plays coming from our guy Adam Thompson in just a moment. But first, hey, VSiN fans, how would you like to play the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest for free this season? Winner Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest. Plus, you get full proxy service throughout the season. And get this, you'll also be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all NFL season long. Enter right now for your chance to win. You can do that over at winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. Adam Thompson, one of our betting experts for bookies.com, joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Adam, let's take a look at Phillies Marlins tonight. Mick Abel, great young arm for the Phillies. He'll be on the mound going up against Sandy Alcantara. I know you're looking at the Phillies money line here at a pretty appealing price.
Yeah, it's cheap. You know, no Bryce Harper, which I'm sure it remains a factor. But, you know, they scored 7 in 3 of their last 4 games. So they figured it out. They really struggled at first when he wasn't there. Now they've kind of figured it out. He's still not there. And like you said, Mick Abel, you know, he's pitching well. You know, he'll go about 5 innings. Miami's averaging under 4 runs per game at home. And Alcantara, I mean, what can you do? I think, you know, he's still getting the little bit of the benefit of the doubt based on his past, his recent past. But he's struggling in pretty much every facet. He didn't get out of the 2 innings when he faced this Phillies lineup earlier this season. So minus 111, you know, I'll take Mick Abel there. You know, the Miami bullpen is almost at 5 ERA in June as well. So I think all signs point to Philly as long as they can keep going. And Alcantara doesn't turn into, you know, circa 2023 Alcantara. I'm willing to bet almost even money that that's not going to happen tonight.
Adam, can I get a quick thumbs up or thumbs down on a bet I made during the commercial break? Orioles Rays over 8.5, hot and humid in the state of Florida where I sit right now. Feels like temperature around first pitch in the mid-90s. Two really good offenses here. Can I get a thumbs up on an over 8.5 play?
Yeah, why not? I faded Tampa Bay a couple times this weekend, all to extreme failure. So I'm not going to go against them anymore. I think they can score runs and you know, Zach Elfin, he's 4-0. He's 4-0 on the road. I don't know if that means much. That game is in, where's that game at?
It's in Tampa.
They're in Tampa. They're in fake Yankee
Stadium. It's in Tampa. It's in Tampa. Yeah, he's on the road. He's on the road. I like that. I think both teams can score at least 4 runs, if not more.
All right, there we have it. Adam Thompson, everybody. Check him out at Adam T Sports. We got some NFL season-long props coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Prop Points on the Sports Betting Network, Dick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz here with you for another 15 minutes or so, taking you up to the top of the hour. As always, Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming up next here on VSiN, so make sure you stick around. Brandon, we want to wrap up the show with a little bit of football talk. So we're going to take a look at some of the yardage leader props available over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. We'll look at passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and kind of use that as an avenue to get some fantasy takes off our chest as well. So let's begin with the quarterbacks, Brandon. Who are you targeting right now when you're looking at those season-long odds to lead the NFL in passing yards. Joe Burrow, the reigning passing champ, he's the favorite at plus 550. Dak Prescott, 8-1. Patrick Mahomes, 9-1. Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield, 10-1. Got a whole slew of quarterbacks between 12 and 25-1 as well. But when you look at that odds board, the best value to you?
To me, the best value is Baker Mayfield sitting at 10-1. He's gaining more and more confidence as every year passes in that Bucs system. They've added a really talented wide receiver in the draft in back-to-back years now in Jalen McMillan and Emeka Egbuka. I think it comes down to Chris Godwin's health. If you have a full allotment of those guys out there, I feel great about this. Baker was third in the league last season, even with the injuries and some of the youngsters that he had to deal with in that offense. So no reason that he can't flirt with that again. Keep in mind, too, Bucky Irving exploded onto the scene, and that's going to be somebody mm-hmm. the defensive coordinators have to really key in on. That could open things up even more for Baker Mayfield. I think that Dak Prescott line is telling, though, because that's the guy that I seem to be targeting the most in fantasy drafts. People just breeze right past him, forgetting what kind of commodity he was 2 years ago. He finished his quarterback two in fantasy. Last year, he missed half the season because of that hamstring injury. Now he comes back fully healthy with an upgrade at wide receiver two, and George Pickens still has the great CeeDee Lamb to throw the football to and no commitment to the ground game. So he should exceed his ADP and is also not a bad bet at 8-1 in this particular bet.
Last time we saw a fully healthy Dak Prescott 2 seasons ago, finished third in passing yards behind Tua, and I believe Jared Goff was number two that year. But I'm with you, man. And Dak still feels like somewhat of a forgotten man. When you look at, you know, ADP right now, average draft position in these early fantasy drafts over at the NFFC, he's QB 14 right now. QB 14 with an elite receiver, one of the five best receivers in the NFL in CeeDee Lamb. And I actually like the fit for George Pickens, where he can be, you know, kind of that complimentary number two, as opposed to someone who's basically asked to carry that entire passing game in Pittsburgh. You know, when it comes to quarterback strategy in general, Brandon, when you're going through a fantasy draft, do you tend to be an early QB guy? Do you shop in the middle tiers? Do you like to wait? I know it can vary draft to draft, but how do you tend to lean in terms of your QB strategy?
I don't like to marry myself to anything. I've definitely been more of a wait on quarterback drafter, but I also think it depends on who you're drafting with. Sometimes if you draft with a bunch of industry professionals or people that are at least savvy enough to be in that sort of realm, taking a quarterback early is not a bad idea, because but the third round you could get quarterback one off the board. I tried to deviate from my typical strategy to wait. 2 years ago, I drafted Patrick Mahomes in the second or third round. I can't remember exactly when it was, but he has not been a good fantasy quarterback the last couple of years. So I dipped my toe in trying to kind of go reverse on the thought that we have to wait on our quarterbacks every single year, and it bit me. So I'm going to go right back to the old ways when it comes to the quarterback position. There's just so many good players that play that position that are tossing a ton of yards and touchdowns every week.
I tend to wait. And when I say wait, I'm not talking, you know, shopping in that Mahomes, Knicks, even Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray tier, you know, kind of that secondary, not elite, but not end of the draft type of guys. If I'm waiting, I want to really wait. You know, someone like Justin Herbert, Justin Fields, Jordan Love, don't even mind waiting even longer. CJ Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, Michael Penix, Matthew Stafford, all these guys widely, widely available after pick 100 in a lot of leagues. Now, I will deviate from that if I feel like I need to gain a positional advantage. For instance, a couple weeks ago, Brandon, I was in a draft where I went receiver, receiver. I was really banking on a running back falling to me at the end of the third round. It didn't happen. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to take Jalen Hurts because I'm going to be up against it at running back no matter what. I need to find a way to offset that. So I'm going to try to do that at the quarterback position. Let's take a look at running backs now. So we're looking at the odds to lead the NFL in rushing yards. Unsurprisingly, Saquon Barkley, your favorite at plus 250. Derrick Henry comes in at plus 350. CMC plus 850. Jonathan Taylor, 10-1. Bijan Robinson, 12-1. Jahmyr Gibbs, 14-1. Same question I just asked you about the quarterbacks, Brandon. Best value on the board here.
I think a lot of people are going to look at Gibbs at 14-1 and say that that's the best value. I love Gibbs. I cannot see him leading the league in rushing yards. He could lead the league in fantasy points. I just can't see him leading right. the league in rushing yards the way that they want to use that dual back system. I don't know if you're going to agree with this one or not, but I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey at plus 850. I think they know this is the end of the road for McCaffrey. Entering his age 29 season, coming off of that calf injury, this guy is a ticking time bomb. But if he doesn't get hurt, this sets up to be a monster season in terms of touches. I think they just sort of say, all right, this is it. This is the last year of McCaffrey with the 49ers. Let's see what we can get out of him. No Deebo Samuel in the offense is the biggest reason why, so they're going to have to lean on McCaffrey even more. So for me, it's McCaffrey, but of course, you have to deal with the potential injury concerns.
Well, no Deebo Samuel and no Jordan Mason either. He's in Minnesota now. Obviously, you have Garendo behind CMC, but I actually like that call, right? It feels like you have to draw a line in the sand. You're either in or you're out on CMC. And if you want to gamble on the health, I think getting that at almost 9-1 to me does make some sense. I'm going with Bijan Robinson. And, you know, it's more about the price here at 12-1 than anything else, because I think he is a little bit Gibbsy in some ways, Brandon, in that maybe the fantasy points will look better than the raw yardage totals, given what he does as a pass catcher. But the way he finished last season, that is what's still fresh in the mind. You know, you look at first 10 games of the year, a little over 15 rush attempts per game, 71 yards per game. He was fine, but was not the Bijan Robinson you necessarily expected. Last six games, 22.8 rush attempts per game, 112 yards per game. Bijan Robinson became the Atlanta Falcons offense. And I think finally there's been some recognition that that's how things need to run. So my hope is that that carries over. I'll take Bijan at 12-1. Let's finish out with some wide receivers. Brandon, odds to lead the NFL in receiving yards. Again, no surprise here. Jamar Chase, your favorite, 6-1, still a reasonable price. Nico Collins, plus 750. Justin Jefferson, 8-1. Neighbors, Lamb, both 10-1. You got Puka Nacua at 11-1. Brian Thomas Jr. in Jacksonville, a rare Jaguar sighting at 12-1. So again, Brandon, your best value if you're looking at this odds to lead the NFL in receiving yards market.
Yeah, Brian Thomas Jr. 12-1 is not a bad bet. I'll say that first and foremost. But the fact that you're getting Justin Jefferson close to 10-1 to me is pretty crazy. He's been inside of the top five pretty much every year of his career. Took home the crown 2 years ago. Top two last season with over 1,500 yards. I think part of the reason you're getting a discount here is because of J.J. McCarthy, but it seems like rapport-wise, they're off to a really good start. And we know that rookies like to lock in on their number one target. So J.J. will sleep better at night if the other J.J. gets 10 targets per game. That's what I keep telling myself. I'll say Justin Jefferson, best chance to lead the league in receiving yards.
Well, it's hard to go against Jamar Chase, especially because I don't know if the Bengals really did enough defensively to make me feel a whole lot better about that unit. But I think there's a value in CeeDee Lamb as well at 10-1. I don't think George Pickens necessarily takes away from him all that much. We just saw Jamar Chase lead the NFL in receiving yards with an even better number two in that offense, having a great season in T. Higgins. So I would not overlook CeeDee Lamb at 10-1. It's time to finish up the show with our best bets of the night. They're brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you have to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, that's a $200 value. The $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promo is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's VSiN.com/GBank. All right, Brandon, best bet of the night. Where are we going?
I'm going to go with the Pacers +9.5 at -110, or if you get them at +9 at -105, really up to you. It's just depending on what kind of tax you want to pay over at your local sports book. But to me, the Pacers should not be this heavy an underdog in this series at any point. Everybody's healthy. They look like they are just as good as OKC at this point. So we'll look for them to cover yet again. The Thunder not in a desperation spot here, Nick. So that's one of the things that worries me for the OKC side.
All right, give me Alex Caruso over 14.5 points plus boards over in 3 of 4 games so far. I think the big minutes continue tonight for Alex Caruso. That's going to wrap it up here on Prop Points Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming your way next here on VSiN.